Joining us live is Utah Representative Chris Stewart. First of all, can you just give us a broad brush of your feelings after last night?
Well, generally it's very, very positive. I just think the president hit exactly the right tone. He was a bit conciliatory towards the opposition. I think he reached out in a bipartisan manner on some of the issues that are important to them. For example, family paid leave or infrastructure spending. I thought he showed a bit of humility. But at the same time, he campaigned to do certain things, and he continues to pursue those goals, and I just admire him for that.
Speak specifically, if you would, Congressman, to his interest in increasing the military budget.
Oh, it's so, so important. I think, you know, as an Air Force pilot, and when I was flying, we would fly 25 to 30 hours a month. We were, you know, consistently trained. We felt capable of going out and accomplishing our mission. Some of our military pilots now are flying 4 hours a month. Oh, my heavens, you can't possibly be safe if you're only flying that often, let alone project American interest and power around the world. And that's just one example of how our military has just been so hurt by sequester and these budget cuts. And President Trump recognizes that, as do most of the members of Congress. We've been committed to increasing our defense spending for a couple of years now, and we've got a president who's committed to doing that, and it's just so necessary.
Congressman, we've mentioned this morning that I think most Americans are yearning for moments when we see both sides of the room standing up and applauding, and we certainly got one of those moments with the widow of the Navy SEAL that died in Yemen.
Yeah, it was a touching moment. It really was, and it was an extensive moment as well. It wasn't just in passing. It just seemed to be an outpouring of emotion for her and for her family, which is, I think by extension, is an outpouring of support for our military and the sacrifice that they and their families make all of the time. You know, it was interesting to watch the reaction in the room, because when President Trump first started to speak, the Democrats were very stoic. You know, they sat there. They didn't respond. They didn't really clap. But as time went on, many of them started to realize, you know, I think we could work with him on some of these issues. I think many of them started to think, I think he's being sincere. I think he's doing what he thinks is the right thing. And it was just a warming in the room, not just from the Republicans, but I think from some of the Democrats as well. And I think you're seeing that in some of the polling this morning. I mean, a large majority of Americans felt this speech was the right tone, had some substance to it, and have reacted, you know, quite positively to it.
I wondered that, watching over the television, whether there was a warming in the room. He told that story about the Harley-Davidson owners and how they're taxed 100% in other countries. And he said, they won't ask for any change, but I will. And I thought, I wondered whether that might have been a moment where people started to think, well, good.
Yeah, and another example was the not just one, but the several people that he brought and illustrated, you know, their examples or their experiences in life now, and how government had made life more difficult for them, or had they had challenges that the government in some cases could help and wasn't able to or wasn't willing to. And as time went on, again, I just think you saw a sense that there was a bit of a thought, and it's necessary. We know that we've been so divided, and it's essential for us as we move forward that we have a bit of help from some of the loyal opposition, and I hope that's the case, and I think it probably will be.
It's easy to talk about how the Republicans feel about that speech and how the Democrats feel on the other side of that speech, but where are the landmines here, if you can put it that way? Where are the problems going to be within the party, the Republican Party, about paying for some of these initiatives?
Yeah, there are not just a few landmines, are there? There's a bunch of them. And paying for them is one of the central questions. But I think before that, what you first have to ask is, what are our priorities? What are the things that we absolutely must pay for? For example, as we've talked about already, the military, there's just a broad consensus, even a bipartisan consensus, that we have to fund our military more than we have over the last few years. A second one is, you know, building the wall and securing our southern border. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a physical wall. There's other ways we could do it that are more efficient. And then the question, to get to your point, is how do we pay for that? And I think that's what we're going through right now. And to be honest with you, we don't know the answers yet. There's a boatload of ideas. They're quite different. But I'm really confident that we're going to come to a consensus on this. The Republicans will find a way that we think is the most efficient to pay for them, and we're committed to doing these things.
Just quickly, Congressman, do you think we'll actually have a budget, not a continuing resolution, but an actual budget this year?
Oh, I sure hope so. My heavens, I sit on the Appropriations Committee, and we work so hard on those through the year, and it's the right thing for the American people. And if we don't get a budget, if we don't actually decide how we're going to fund our government, it's just a complete breakdown in the process. I think that we will. I think there's some obstacles that we have to overcome over the next 4 or 6 weeks, but I really believe that we will, and I'm not just being Pollyannish. I think most of the members of Congress realize if we don't, then we've just given President Obama an extension of his policies for another year. And we don't want to do that. We had an election. Americans want change. And I think passing a budget that implements some of those changes is essential, and I really believe we're going to do that.
Well, and I think the people are going to continue to hold your feet to the fire on those things. Congressman, thanks for your time this morning. Joining us in depth, of course, Representative Chris Stewart.